Now, the official definition of steampunk is that it's a retro-futuristic subgenre of science fiction that incorporates technology inspired by 19th-century industrial steam-powered machinery. And it's based on imagining what Victorians might have created for the modern world, and it loves brass and copper and wood and glass. And steampunk in New Zealand has a distinct identity and an internationally admired one. And every year on Queen's Birthday weekend, there's a Steampunk New Zealand Festival in Oamaru. And joining us is one of the movement's prominent members, Helen Jansen, a.k.a. the Falconess. Good morning.
Good morning, Jim. How lovely to speak to you again. And I have with me, of course, the partner in creation, Agent Darling.
Ian Clark, a.k.a. Ian Clark.
That's the man.
Agent.
I'm going to pass you over to him, Jim. Is that all right?
Are you abandoning me already?
Oh, Jim, it's hard, but I know how time poor we are, and it's such a pleasure to speak to you. I'll pass you to Ian.
All right, so we now talk to Agent Darling. Ian Clark, good morning.
Good morning, Jim. It seems like years since we've talked.
It is. Well, it has been years since we've talked, so that's why it seems like it. Now, you you and the Falconess and a dedicated and highly created crew created an event which has become, or was 5 years ago, I know, Ian, the largest steampunk gathering in the world, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
And
well, for the world record, yes, the largest amount of steampunks gathered in one place, yes.
Okay, and it's still
good. We still have it.
I know you've still got a good head of steam up. So let's get to the useful information as far as you're concerned. I know there's always such cleverness on show. Any personal highlights this year for you?
Well, the fact that we actually got it up and going in such a small space of time was a tremendous effort put in by the organising committee. Because of the COVID threat, we had to leave things basically until the last minute and then just decided to go for it. And so the fact that it is on the scale that it is, it's just a tremendous achievement by the organising committee and everybody who wanted to come, which was great.
Yeah, but what have you achieved that people who are coming down today will want to have a look at, do you think?
Well, there's the steampunk market, there's the teapot racing, we're also going to have airship racing. There's the Galaxy Gallop tonight, which is going to be the sort of the formal ball. And then there are just the odd street things happening around. So it's business as usual. There's a visual spectacle. And, of course, we've got people coming in from out of town, even people coming back from the Brass Monkey Rally are stopping over and wandering around too.
Lovely. I hope I can get to the airship racing, but I want to cover the tea dueling because this is very intriguing. Tea dueling, and I imagine people can try it at home. Can you explain it for us?
Yes, well, you've got two opponents sitting opposite across the table, and you have a biscuit, usually a meath or a nice biscuit, or however you pronounce it, and or a ginger nut, whatever you prefer. And you dunk it into your tea until you feel that it's just the right consistency or still a manageable consistency. You hold it up for as long as you can before it disintegrates, and just before it does, you pop it into your mouth. And it's the person who manages to get that, hold out till the last moment. That's who wins. So if you get you can either get a sploosh or a plop.
Okay,
depending
so
on.
The more of it you get into your mouth, the closer you are to victory.
Yeah, that's right. it's a battle of the strength of mind and of will to determination to see whether you can hold it before it all disintegrates.
Who knew this could be a sport? Can anyone have a go today?
Yes, anybody can come along and have a go.
Is it a good spectator sport?
It is, because, strangely enough, it does build up that anticipation and the excitement of just, is it going to collapse before he gives up or he or she gives up and puts it in their mouth? So it's either that you're either going to win or it's all just going to fall apart, it's all going to go wrong before you know it.
It's like life, really. Okay, so that sounds enticing. That's the tea dueling. You've got teapot racing and airship racing. So they both sound reasonably spectacular in their own way.
Yes, we introduced airship racing and it's developed over in many forms over the years. We originally started off with those inflatable helium sharks, that the remote control sharks that sort of swim through the air.
That's right, yeah.
And that was a bit of a laugh too, but it was a little bit slower. So we ended up doing these ones that develop along strings, and you reel them in with little tiny children's fishing rods, and who can wind the fastest and get them down the end of the ring. And now we've got compressed air ones for this season, and what happens is they're made out of Coke bottles.
Fantastic.
They run up a set course. Yeah, so it's always evolving. We're always coming up with new ideas of being creative.
You are, aren't you? And the teapot racing sounds particularly idiosyncratic.
It was originally designed for one of our disabled members, and it was an event that she could take part in and still be able to manipulate the controls of the remote control. And so it meant that she was able to participate on an equal footing with everybody else.
Ah.
And Donald Rose Mackay. And so, where am I going with this? Yeah, it's become worldwide.
Right.
There are teapot racing all over the place. It's turned into an incredible event. And people have just seen the opportunities for it. And it's just it's silly, but it's absolutely amazing too. And it gives you a wide range of creativity. That remote control car that you used to play with can now be turned into something. And there's an obstacle course to go through. And everything like this.
So right. Can we turn into a racing teapot? So, Stamp,
yes.
So it sounds like in a short amount of time you've actually managed to cobble together quite a lot of stuff to see. And now, I know steampunk, I think many of us know by now, thanks to you and other wonderful people in your beautiful town, Ian, is what the modern world might have become if the inventions of Victorian times had been explored more. And after all, they did have the idea of vacuum tube travel, for example, long before Elon Musk and his Hyperloop.
That's right. I think they didn't have the technology. They had the vision, but they didn't have the technology to be able to back it up.
Very nice to... Sorry, I thought you'd finished, but no, please carry on.
Oh, no, we'll stop there. They're visionary anyway, though. They were great future thinkers, and they... it's just that the technology, they didn't have a grasp of, you know, to be able to produce these type of things.
And you're pretty visionary yourself, you and the others, Agent Darling, you and the Falconess and the others involved with steampunk. So congratulations, I hope. Have you got the weather for it today?
It's a cold, it's not too bad. It's an overcast day, so it's a soft day. It's not too cold. It's not exactly Goldilocks weather, but it's bearable. It's not hard and frosty, which is
dry.
And it's dry, which is good.
Dry. Dry, says the Falconess. That's what you want. Hey, nice to talk to both of you, to catch up, and all the best for the afternoon with the steampunk.
Thank you very much, Jim. Look forward to speaking to you at another time.
That's right, in another 10 years or so. Very good.